Normally, at this point of the NFL season, all eyes aren't really on a city with a four-win football team, but that's the case this season with the Houston Texans and all the unrest with Deshaun Watson and his future. Here to make us help us make heads or tails of it, Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans for ESPN.com, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Sarah, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. We'll start with the big million-dollar question. Is the relationship between Deshaun Watson and the Texans reparable at this point?
I think so. I think because for the Texans' perspective, it's got to be, right? Your franchise quarterback's upset at you. I think they need to fix it. From people I've talked to in the organization, they know that it's a legitimate possibility that he comes out and says, I'm demanding a trade. But they also know that there's some time to fix this and that they need to, because they've seen what it's like to not have a franchise quarterback and they don't want to go back to that.
Is there a feeling that hiring Eric Bieniemy fixes this automatically?
I don't think automatically. I think it's a step in the right direction if that's who Deshaun has told you that he wants you to hire. I also think from Bieniemy's perspective, he's got to want to come here and he's got to buy into the fact that they want him and it's not just being done to appease their quarterback. I think it helps fix it, but I think it's also now Bieniemy and Caserio and Deshaun and Cal McNairy to sit down and discuss, you know, what is making him unhappy. It can't just be this one thing with the GM search, right? It's probably more to that. So they need to have a conversation and figure out how they can make this better going forward, because there's not that many people in this organization that you need to worry about their feelings, I guess, more than Deshaun.
Very true. Sarah Barshop from ESPN.com, our guest here on Bickley and Marotta. I guess the follow-up question to the leading question I asked to start the conversation is, where is the faith level in the Texans organization to do the right thing to fix this? Because right or wrong, as you know, Sarah, the perception of the Houston Texans organization for the last year basically has been that of incompetence. And where is the belief level that they know the right way to get this done and fix things with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I don't think it's very high. I mean, I think the thing you have going for you is that from everyone I've talked to, Nick Caserio is very good at his job. And if there's someone who can make sure this is handled correctly, I think you trust him. But again, it starts at the top. It starts with Cal McNair. He owns this team. He's not going anywhere. And so if that's the person Deshaun Watson's upset with and that's where the relationship is fractured, then that's a problem. I think Cal's got to listen to the people around him, the people he trusts around him, specifically Caserio and whoever they hire as a head coach, and just say, you know, we can't. It's not that they're going to just defer to Deshaun Watson in all situations, but they have to understand that they need to fix this. And again, I think it just starts with that decision being made at the top.
So if there's a belief that the Texans better do what they can to salvage this, which it clearly seems like the smart thing to do when you're talking about a kid as polished as Deshaun Watson, I would take it then that there's not really been a lot of speculation on what the team might want in return or where the team might have to go looking for a trade if it got to that point. Has there been anything circulating around that?
They've definitely talked about it. I mean, I think they know that while it's fine to say we're not going to trade you and you have 5 years left in your contract, they have to be prepared for what if it does get to that point. And so I've been told that people in the organization have had those conversations. Maybe not specifics of how many first-round picks, but definitely the basics of, okay, what teams could be interested, what would we need to get in return, at least the very basic conversations, because they know that Deshaun could come out tomorrow and say, hey, I want to trade. And if that's the case, they need to be prepared for that.
Well, what if on behalf of Arizona, I offer up Kyler Murray in a second and a third? Would that work, you think?
I think you probably want to throw a first-round pick in there.
Okay.
I think they...
I'll do it.
This is the problem, I think, with the trade with him, is that any trade that the Texans feel is fair market value for Deshaun Watson, another team is probably going to say, yeah, it's probably fair, but do we want to mortgage our future to upgrade a quarterback? Probably not.
Sarah Barshop of ESPN.com, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Flipping it a little bit on Deshaun Watson, and I've seen a couple people on Twitter bring this up and ask the question, okay, we know there was some sort of disappointment from Deshaun Watson when last March DeAndre Hopkins was traded to Arizona in a very one-sided deal. He signs the massive contract extension in September. Bill O'Brien's still there at that point as the head coach and general manager, but what possibly could have gone so wrong? If things were bad after that trade, why did he go ahead and sign the extension with the Texans?
That's the question I asked too. And now, you know, you can't fault him, of course. That's a once-in-a-lifetime contract probably, and he got his money that he's earned. But, again, you know who you're, what organization you're committing to. As you said, he knows that they traded DeAndre Hopkins. He knew that Bill O'Brien was already the general manager. Other than Bill O'Brien being fired, I would say not a lot has changed, at least from what we know, from when he signed that deal to now. Now, I think the bigger thing is, like, so he came out after the season and his NFC press conference said, we need a whole culture shift here. And so I think a little bit of it is, well, they hired someone else from New England.
Hmm.
Enough that Cal McNair had to come out in the introductory press conference and say, hey, we're not the Patriots South. We want to do things the Texans way. It's like, okay, well, you've now hired significant people you've given significant power to in your organization. All from there, like, you can understand why Deshaun Watson maybe feels like this is more of the same.
Yeah. How much of it do you think was exacerbated by the season that he just went through? I mean, statistically, he was brilliant. Their defense was terrible. They win four games, and I know there was a lot of frustration from September to December there, but how much did the season, do you think, wear on Deshaun Watson? Is that, and is maybe his tone now just a reflection of that?
I think so, because he realizes that the team that he signed this extension with maybe isn't prepared to really win with him here.
Mm.
This defense has a lot of holes, that, and they don't have the draft capital to fix it unless something changes. So I think he looks around and says, man, like, J.J. Watt might get traded, probably going to get traded at this rate. You know, what young talent do we have on the other side of the ball? And I can do all I want, and I can have these great games, but if the defense can't stop the opponents, we're not going to win that many games. And so I think this season was kind of a reality check. In fact, he told us, you know, I've never lost like this. We've never got, like, he's like, I've made the playoffs or whatever the equivalent is always, you know, except for the year he tore his ACL and he didn't start the full season. Every other year, he's been in the playoffs or championship or whatever it is, and he says, like, that's been really hard for me to go through. I've never experienced this before. And so I think, not that he didn't know what he was getting into when he signed that contract, but I think it's easy to look around when all this is going on and say, man, I had a really great season even without DeAndre Hopkins, and it wasn't good enough to win games.
All right, my last question. How did year one of David Johnson in Houston go over with the Texans and the fan base?
I think you know the answer to that question.
The answer to the question is, he's such a great guy. That's what we did in Arizona. That prefaced every analysis of David Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's two separate things. Like, even if you look, Texans, even if he hadn't been traded for DeAndre Hopkins, I think you look at that contract and say, wow, he didn't play up to that contract. But the fact that he was traded for an all-pro receiver, I think Texans fans can't even see past that, honestly. I mean, I don't blame them. But, yeah. you know, when you look at him, you say, we got him in exchange for DeAndre Hopkins, and the production just isn't there. So, yeah, it did not go over well here.
Yeah, you kind of hit on it, Sarah. You mentioned J.J. Watt and his future in Houston. He's got 1 year left on the contract. Do you expect him to move elsewhere this offseason?
I think it makes sense for both parties. I mean, unless Cal McNair just says, you know, we absolutely just want you to continue to be the face of our franchise for one more year. We want you here. I think they don't really want to pay the $17.5 million next year for a team that is not a J.J. Watt away from winning the Super Bowl. And he probably wants to go win. In fact, I know he wants to go win somewhere. He doesn't want to – he told us, you know, I don't want to go through a rebuild. And I asked him at the end of the season, do you think this is a rebuild? Because obviously of Deshaun Watson, and he said, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of questions that have to be answered this offseason before we get to that. And I'm guessing the first 3 weeks of the offseason have not been what he had in mind.
True.
So I don't know. I find it hard to believe that he'll be here. I think that they'll find a destination that he's happy with, that they're happy with what they get in return, and they can, you know, let him go try win somewhere else, because I don't think they're going to be Super Bowl contenders in 2021.
I think the world of J.J. Watt, so I don't want to speak ill of him, but I'll ask you this question as somebody who watches every down. How much gas does he have left in the tank, do you think?
I think on a good team surrounded by talent, he will have a more productive season than he had here when he was being double-teamed, probably triple-teamed at times, because there wasn't much other talent that opponents were worried about. So I think you think back to when he was younger, it was before he was injured, but I think he had more talent around him here too, and I think that hurt him this year when Whitney Mercilus really didn't do much, and that's the other good pass rusher that the Texans have.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for the time and the insight. We really appreciate you coming on the show today.